Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Caught in the end zone. Caught. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. John Schmuck, Lance Zometta with you. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. If you prefer to get in touch with us via Twitter, we will be taking your calls later on in the show. We'll go a full 90 minutes today. It is the week of the draft. We are getting ready for the Giants draft pick on Thursday, the ninth pick overall. And we've been talking to draft experts the last couple of weeks. And today we'll have one of our favorites, one of the best and busiest men in the business. That's Rob Rang from CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout as well. Rob, John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you on Giants.com. Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Rob, it's good to talk to you again. And I find your mock drafts, I've been monitoring them, they're a little more unique than some of the others I've seen in terms of the guys that you have going to the Giants. You seem to be locked in, at least in your last couple mock drafts, to Randy Gregory. I've heard a lot of other people think he might even drop to the end of the first round, early second. Why do you still have him so high, in your opinion?
Well, I just think that he is still one of the elite players in the draft. He is a dynamic edge rusher who has the length, the strength, the agility to be able to come in and make an immediate impact. I think that he makes a lot of sense for the Giants specifically because during the current regime, the Giants have consistently focused in on pass rushers early in the draft. And I think that the drop-off between Randy Gregory, Vic Beasley, Shane Ray, Dante Fowler, to the next group of pass rushers is so significant that with Jason Pierre-Paul, obviously a little bit of a question mark of whether or not he's going to be back and whether everything's going to be going well in that direction, then the Giants may want to protect themselves with a dynamic talent like Randy Gregory.
I just want to follow up on Gregory, Rob, real quick. We know about the positive drug test from the combine. We talked to one of the great beat guys that covered him out there in Nebraska, called him a smart player and someone, though, that maybe made some questionable decisions, not a bad kid, but a kid that maybe just at certain points made some immature mistakes. What are you hearing from teams about Gregory that their biggest off-field concerns are with him?
One of the biggest off-field concerns with him is the fact that he was at least perceived to always have an excuse for something. You mentioned the fact that he came out and said that he had failed a test for marijuana at the combine, and the fact that this past season he wasn't nearly as successful as he was the year before, struggled with a variety of different injuries. But I'm getting the same sense from scouts and general managers across the league that when you talk to people about Randy Gregory, there is not a thought that he's a bad guy, that he did make a couple of immature decisions, but that because of his physical talents, because of the fact that even when he wasn't as productive as an edge rusher, he still gave you top effort as a run defender. I think there's a belief that he is an extraordinary talent who still has a great deal of untapped potential, and therefore if you surround him with some talent, then he could be ready to explode onto the NFL. If he does indeed slide down into the later portion of the first round of this draft, or perhaps even into the early portion of the second round, I think that some club is going to wind up getting a terrific player at a point of extreme value.
Rob, you mentioned that Randy Gregory is a good fit for the Giants' defensive scheme, the fact that he's a great edge rusher, and you mentioned once you get past the top tier of pass rushers, there's a significant drop-off. Who else within the top tier? Let's say, hypothetically, Randy Gregory's not there for the Giants at number 9, but they do want to go in the direction of a pass rusher, a Vic Beasley, a Shane Ray, a Danny Shelton. Who else would be an ideal fit, you think, within what the Giants run?
Well, I think that Bud Dupree from Kentucky makes a lot of sense as well. I mean, again, like Randy Gregory, Bud Dupree has the length that you're looking for. He has the agility to be able to not only be a defensive end, but also be able to drop back into coverage occasionally. I think that position flexibility and versatility, the fact that he was a very productive player while at Kentucky, actually left the SEC's leading sack rusher over the last couple of years. I think that type of production against elite competition is something that the Giants will consider very seriously.
And you have Bud Dupree going eighth to the Falcons in your most recent mock drafts. I've seen other people have him in the top 10 too, Rob. I've seen other guys have him in the late teens, early 20s. You know, a lot of people view him as both a linebacker and a defensive end. But when you talk about Gregory, when you talk about Shane Ray, and I'll even throw Vic Beasley into that mix, when you project him to a 4-3 scheme, do you see them as a third-down pass rusher but a first- and second-down linebacker? How do you see them fitting into a 4-3 scheme considering they came from the 3-4 system in college?
Well, that's the thing, is that some of these players I do anticipate would have to play a little bit of linebacker and then likely – slide down and resume their playing at defensive end, in the NFL, just because of the huge difference in size that they're going to be facing. And Vic Beasley at 6'3", 250 pounds, roughly. Shane Ray, similarly sized. I think that those are the types of players that might have to play a little bit of linebacker and then slide down defensive end in obvious pass rush situations. Whereas with Randy Gregory, while he measured in at 6'5", 240 pounds, he's much stronger at the point of attack than a lot of people want to give him credit for. That's one of the reasons why I think that he still is in that top 10 mix, is just because when you actually just watch the tape and throw out everything else, then he is one of the few defensive ends in this draft class who is strong enough at the point of attack to hold up and run support, has the athletic ability to chase down running backs on the edge, and of course, can get after the quarterback. And that's why I still believe that he should be among the top 10 selections this year.
Rob, what happens in the first 8 picks is obviously going to influence where the Giants go at number 9. And, you know, you wrote about this on your mock draft. The number 2 spot is what everybody is speculating about right now, where Tennessee is set to select. Could be a trade, whether it be the Chargers, the Eagles, and so forth. If there is a move, is there any chance that it could be another player other than Marcus Mariota? Or based on what you're hearing, are pretty much quarterbacks going to be taken 1 and 2 and nothing else should be shifted?
No, I think that it's very, very likely that it's going to be the quarterbacks number 1 and 2. The only way I see it not going quarterbacks, Jameis Winston number 1, Marcus Mariota number 2, is if Tennessee is unable to trade out of that number 2 overall spot and the Titans elect to go with the quarterback that they already have in place in the young Zach Mettenberger, who is a better fit, frankly, in Ken Whisenhunt's pro-style offense than Marcus Mariota is, and that the Titans elect to go with Leonard Williams, the very talented defensive lineman from Southern Cal, who is a perfect fit in the 3-4 defense that Tennessee is looking to build. So, you know, that's the one way I think that there's a possibility that the quarterbacks don't go number 1 and number 2 overall. And if there is another trade to try and get up there and take someone other than one of those top 2 quarterbacks, I think that the teams looking to move up are most likely going to be talking to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 3 or perhaps the Oakland Raiders at number 4.
Joined by Rob Rank, CBS Sports NFL Draft Scout. Rob, before we start sliding into the later portions of the draft, day 2 and day 3, the 7 guys you have going before the Giants, included in those 7, with the 2 quarterbacks, you got Leonard Williams, all those guys expected to be off the board. Dante Fowler going to be off the board for the Giants. What do you think the chances are that either Amari Cooper, Kevin White, Brandon Scherff, or you have going number 6 to the Jets, I'll even throw Dante Fowler into the mix. What do you think the percentage chance is one of those 4 players could be available to the Giants when they pick at number 9?
Well, I think it's unlikely. Now, of the group, the one who I think that has the greatest possibility, I would actually extend it to 2 players. It might be West Virginia wide receiver Kevin White, and then Iowa offensive lineman Brandon Scherff. Now, in my opinion, there's no question these 2 players deserve to be among the top 7 or 8 picks in this year's draft class. Kevin White, just because of the value of the wide receiver position and relative to pass rushers and quarterbacks, I think that you could see the wide receiver start to drop a little bit. The fact that this is such another very deep class of wide receivers, again, is one of the reasons why you could see Kevin White, who, of course, only had the 1 monster season at West Virginia as a junior college transfer, that there is a possibility that he slips down the board a little bit. But I just think he's too dynamic of an athlete for a team like the Chicago Bears, who need some help at wide receiver to possibly overlook, as well as the Oakland Raiders sitting there number 4 overall. Everybody wants to throw in Amari Cooper, But I think there's also a possibility that he might go with the long-term upside of Kevin White. Brandon Scherff, on the other hand, he's we tend to see offensive linemen, especially offensive linemen who some believe fit in best as a guard, tend to drop on draft day. If Brandon Scherff falls out of the top six or seven picks, then he absolutely should be in play for the New York Giants. I'm not quite as concerned about New York's offensive line as a lot of people seem to be, just because of the investments that New York made over the last couple of years to improve in that position. But if Brandon Scherff is available to the Giants, I think that he absolutely should be in place because of the relative safety that he brings, as well as the position versatility. You could slide him in essentially every position along the offensive line other than center, and I am very confident that Brandon Scherff would be able to come in, play well immediately as a rookie.
Now, the second offensive lineman you're going off the board is Eric Flowers at number 10, right after the Giants, to the St. Louis Rams. How much separation do you have, Rob, from Flowers to Andrus Peat to Lael Collins? I don't know what you think of the DJ Humphreys of the world and, you know, the Fishers, DJ Humphreys of the world, those types of guys. How much of a separation is there, and how much should the Giants consider a guy like Eric Flowers and they're on the board at number 9?
You know, I think that the other offensive linemen are very much going to be in play for New York because it is obviously a position of concern. But at the same time, I think that there's only a certain type of offensive linemen that have traditionally been favored by the Giants. And so, you know, focusing on those types of players, I think what we'd be talking about is offensive linemen that have length, that have power, that have toughness. Not so much some of the more athletic guys who maybe aren't quite as heavy or aren't as powerful in the running game. So, for example, some of those athletic offensive linemen in this draft class who aren't quite as powerful when it comes to being a driving run blocker, you know, DJ Humphreys from Florida is a player who a lot of people are very high on. I'm excited about his upside as well, but I don't think that he is the plug-and-play option that a player like Lael Collins from LSU, Brandon Scherff, certainly. Eric Flowers from Miami is another player I'm very, very high on. But, you know, you mentioned Eric Flowers. I have him going number 10 overall right now at St. Louis Rams because they're a type of team that likes to just physically maul you at the point of attack. I think that Eric Flowers might wind up being higher on St. Louis's board than he would for some other clubs who might be looking for one of those more athletic left tackles like a DJ Humphreys or a Pittsburgh's TJ Clemmings, for example. So to me, it's all about picking the type of player who fits in best for your particular franchise and the type of offense that you like to run. For the New York Giants specifically, I think that Lael Collins from LSU makes a lot of sense, Andrus Peat from Stanford, and Miami's Eric Flowers, as I mentioned previously.
Talking with Rob Rang, who covers the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Rob, I'm looking at a little bit later on in the first round in your mock draft, between picks 11 and 22, you have a string of five corners going. Trey Waynes is number one with the 11th pick to the Vikings. What about the drop-off at the corner position? You just spoke about the offensive line, the depth there. Five corners in round one. How would you separate Trey Waynes specifically from the rest of the guys that would follow?
Well, again, it's very much like the offensive line. It's like pick your own flavor of what particular type of player you're looking for. You know, Trey Waynes has that long, lanky build. He's a very good press corner who has good ball skills. But because he's only about 185 pounds, there's some question about, you know, how well is he going to be able to play run support. I think that he would make a lot of sense, say, in the NFC North division where there's some dynamic wide receivers out there. But other than Eddie Lacy and perhaps Adrian Peterson, I don't see a lot of physical running taking place in the NFC North Division. So that's one of the reasons why that Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings might find Trey Waynes very intriguing in their particular defense. That said, you talk to other clubs out there, they think the Washington's Marcus Peters might be the most talented cornerback in this draft class in terms of not only the ball skills, the coverage ability, but also in run support, where he is very physical in coming up and disengaging from blocks, as well as making a tackle at or near the line of scrimmage in run support. Kevin Johnson from Wake Forest might have the lightest feet and the most fluidity of any corner in this draft class. But again, it's a little bit undersized. There's some questions about his toughness in run support, how effective he is going to be. So, That's the thing about this year's draft class, guys. There are some players out there, you know, at virtually every position, but especially at corner and offensive line, that are going to be very highly rated by some clubs and much, much lower rated just because they're not the schematic fit. So for New York specifically, again, if you're looking for physicality, you're looking for length, I think that Marcus Peters from Washington, Trey Waynes from Michigan State, perhaps even gambling on the upside of a player like Jalen Collins from LSU would make a lot of sense for New York.
Well, and I think, Rob, you just mentioned how I think a lot of the picks between 20 and 45 on these draft boards can kind of be swapped around a lot. And you're going to have a lot of teams with guys in different spots, which gives the potential of finding great value with the Giants picking round two at 40th overall. You have them since they're picking the defensive player in round one. You've been picking, and I've been practicing this, Cedric Obehi from Texas A&M, the offensive tackle coming off the ACL injury. But if he wasn't hurt, he would likely be a pretty high first-round pick. You could talk about him a little bit. And where else do you think the Giants could find some value with that 40th overall pick in the second round?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I think the Giants may elect to go with an edge defender in the first round is just because that position dries up, whereas the offensive line, there's still lots of very talented players you might be able to find in the second, third, maybe even the fourth round, if you're looking for interior linemen. You know, Cedric Obehi is a player who is a dynamic athlete. He was a guy that the upside is through the roof. He started at left guard, made the switch to right tackle, was a superstar at both those positions. A lot of talk that he was ultimately going to wind up being drafted higher than the two players who preceded him at Texas A&M's left tackle. Luke Joeckel was number two overall selection in Jacksonville a couple of years ago, and then Jake Matthews went number six overall to Atlanta just last year. Cedric Obehi has actually more athletic ability, more upside, more length than either of those two players. Unfortunately, he struggled a little bit making that transition to right from right tackle to left tackle this past season and then tore his ACL late in the season. So there's some concern about how quickly he's going to be ready to come back and compete in the NFL. Now, every indication I have is that his recovery is coming along nicely. There's no question that he is a first-round talent. So should he be available to New York or to any other club, and it was in the top 15, 20 picks or so of the second round, I think that he would offer extreme value.
Rob, you mentioned some of the needs for the New York Giants as you look at their roster heading into the draft, and one position that jumps out to a lot of Giants fans as well as us is safety, considering based on the numbers game, there's not many safeties currently on the roster. Who jumps out to you in this draft class that plays that position, and I'll specifically say free safety as opposed to strong safety, because free safety seems to be more of a need for the Giants as it stands right now.
Yeah, I think free safety is one of those positions, unfortunately, where there's not a lot of options. And so, you know, we talked before about how teams are going to be able to kind of pick their own flavor among offensive linemen or cornerbacks. You know, there's only a limited number of options available to the clubs that need help at the free safety position in this year's draft class, at least among traditional free safeties. And that's an important distinction just because I think that the Giants and other clubs could be looking to perhaps draft a player that saw a lot of action at cornerback in college, but maybe has the vision, the burst and the ball skills, as well as the physicality and open field tackling ability to be able to make that transition to free safety. One of those players I'm really intrigued by is Utah's Eric Rowe. He's a guy that could jump into that late first round mix, certainly would make some sense if available to the Giants at number 40 overall. Was a star at free safety at Utah, also made the transition to cornerback as a senior, played in the Senior Bowl at the cornerback position, has the length and the open field tackling ability, the physicality that you're looking for. So I think that he makes some sense. You're hearing a lot right now about Arizona State's Demaryius Randall, a player who has the coverage ability, is a little bit smaller than you'd like at the free safety position, but is a reliable open field tackler. He's much more physical than you might think given his size. So those are two of the players that make the most sense to me in terms of the traditional free safety approach. Again, there's also some corners later in the draft, like a Southern Cal's Josh Shaw, who has experience in both positions and I think ultimately project best as a safety.
Rob, all the guys that study as much tape as you and go through these draft prospects always have some sleepers that you think that these teams can get in round three, even the third day in round four and round five, that can become starters in the NFL, maybe not in year one, but in year two and year three, and can become regular contributors. Who are some of those guys that you're keeping an eye on that you think might drop but deserve to go a little bit higher in the draft this end of this week?
Well, it's one of my favorite things about the NFL draft is trying to find some of those sleeper prospects out there. So a couple of guys that, you know, that really jump out, in my opinion, in this draft class, and you've probably heard so much by now of Ali Marpet, the guard from Hobart, who was a four-year starter at Hobart William & Smith, and then made the transition to left guard at the Senior Bowl. I really like this kid. I think that he makes a lot of sense in the late portion of the second round to early third round, whether he be a guard or a center. I believe that he projects as a longtime starter in the NFL. One of my favorite running backs in this draft class, David Johnson from Northern Iowa. Again, a player who stood out at the Senior Bowl when he went up against top competition. 6'1", 230 pounds, runs a 4.50, and has about as soft of hands as any running back in this draft class. And this is an extraordinary draft class for the running back position. And then I would mention a wide receiver. That's the position that we often see players be able to make that very difficult jump from college to the NFL, especially among small school players. There's been a lot of success with those types of players. Trey McBride from William & Mary, 6'2", 210 pounds, running in the 4.4s, has the ball skills that you're looking for, and is actually a much more polished route runner than most small school receivers are. So those are three so-called diamond in the roughs. I think you might be able to find in the middle rounds of this year's draft class who I anticipate are going to wind up perhaps not being NFL starters, but certainly strong NFL contributors early in their careers.
Well, Rob, one player who could be a strong contributor in the NFL because of his versatility is Shaq Thompson. There's really a debate going on. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Where does he translate to the NFL? I know on some of your mock drafts you have him going to the Eagles. I've seen another one you have him going to the Dolphins in round two. Where do you see him landing? I mean, do you think he's going to stay at the second round? And what position is he ideally fit to play at the NFL level?
Well, that's the thing. When we talked about some of the pass rushers in this draft class, and some people want to characterize them as defensive ends, others want to characterize them as outside linebackers. You know, to me, the way that the NFL has evolved, they really are playing a hybrid role. And Shaq Thompson, I anticipate, is going to be playing a hybrid role as well, just a little bit farther off the line of scrimmage. So whether you want to call him an outside linebacker or a strong safety, I think he's a defensive eraser and a playmaker and a kid that has the instincts and the open field tackling ability, the ball skills to be able to make big plays regardless of where you line him up. Of course, he's the Paul Hornung Award winner as the nation's most versatile player, playing a little bit of safety, certainly a lot of outside linebacker, and even some running back at the University of Washington this past season. I was at the University of Washington's Pro Day. I listened to scouts request that Shaq Thompson do some drills at running back, and he flatly denied that and said that he was a defensive player. He wanted to play at linebacker. Again, if you're lining up in a traditional 4-3, I think that Shaq Thompson can be that outside linebacker for you. At the same time, I also think that he has enough athletic ability, enough instincts to be able to transition back to safety as he was in high school when he was a very highly regarded prep prospect. So to me, it's going to take a team that is willing to be a little bit creative. But I think that the way that the NFL is gearing more and more towards the passing game, then finding these defensive erasers who are able to handle the very unique coverage responsibilities in today's NFL with so many slot receivers, big seam tight ends, and running backs out of the backfield. Shaq Thompson is one of the few players in the draft class, I think, who has the coverage ability and instincts to be able to handle that role. And I stand firm that he will be, if not a late first-round selection, then certainly will come off the board somewhere in the second round.
Strong words. Rob Rang, CBS Sports. Rob, excellent work as always. You look forward to the draft end of the week. Then maybe you could take a little bit of a vacation before you get your 2016 mock draft ready to go. We appreciate all the time, my friend. Excellent work. We love reading your stuff. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you down the road. All right, buddy?
Thanks, Rob.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
That's Rob Rang, CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout, does an excellent job on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com.